Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we are going into the Valley. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook from the SE7 pod. Gents, how are we?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Very well. Busy day today, but looking forward to it.
I heard you were painting the utility
room. Yeah, painting Martin. The old utility room at home, keep the wife happy.
And Johnny, have you got my scarf?
I have got your scarf.
Excellent.
I actually have got your scarf. So
Paul, thank you very much.
You said that quickly and then I thought, oh, have I got your scarf? I have. Yeah. I tucked it away. So for anyone listening, Paul left a lovely burgundy scarf in the studio last week and rang the station, which meant we had a very odd interaction because I picked up the phone in a very professional way and said, hello, Love Sport Radio. And Paul said, yes, I think I've left my scarf. And I said, hang on, is that you, Paul? He said, yeah, who's this? I said, it's Johnny. Yeah. I've got the scarf. It's no problem.
Fantastic. Excellent.
More than just that, we've got Lyle Taylor, which I can't take credit for. It's the work of our own Martin Adkins. We've got the Addicts top scorer coming on the line in just a few minutes' time. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And a nice guy as well, because I bumped into him in the street, and I think I might bring that up when I speak to him.
How nice he was.
How lovely he was and how awkward I was. So, well, yeah.
That is the thing. I actually...
You was a fanboy.
This is the thing. I get mocked still by my mates because I did that very stereotypical thing of going on holiday straight after I left school. And we were sitting in Heathrow Airport and I saw a bloke walk past about 30 yards away. And I thought, is that Luke Shaw? And it was when Luke Shaw was sort of 18, so he was my age, give or take, and he was still this hot prospect at Southampton, and my mate said, no, it can't be Luke Shaw. So we looked on Twitter, and it was Luke Shaw, and I was so embarrassed and so shy that my mate had to go up to inform me. I was like a 12-year-old girl asking someone to go to a prom. But there we go, we move on. Luke and I had a lovely chat, so that's it. Lyle Taylor, of course, was involved at the weekend. It was 3 points for Charlton. It wasn't quite as easy as it might have been. 1-0 win against Bradford, but they're not a fantastic side.
No, but we went one up early on. We looked the better side, made good chances. We scored that goal, a very nice goal, nicely tucked away by Lyle. But at that point, I'm sure Paul was thinking, as he guessed last week, that is going to be a 6-0. It wasn't quite that, was it, Paul?
Well, I got the nil right, and I was very, very drunk at the time when I gave that prediction. But it could have been 6-0 because with the chances we had first half, they could have mounted up. And, if it wasn't for that miss by Lyle, that could have set us going. But are we going to mention that when he comes on? We'll leave that one to you, Johnny, perhaps.
Well, I think Martin was saying he was keen.
Yeah, well, it's that matter.
I was hearing that.
It's only a miss.
It's only a miss, and he scored the winner. But Martin,
exactly.
I was hearing that you had a bloke sitting near you in the stadium who was taking issue.
He just couldn't believe it, yeah. Yeah. But there you go. He'll get over it.
But to be fair to Lyle, he had a cracking game. Apart from the goal, he was just everywhere. I mean, when you look at him, his work rate is fantastic.
Work rate is joke.
And he's on every side. And I think in the second half, there was one point when he was sort of like a left back, left wing back.
And he's chasing back.
He's chasing back. And he's actually ahead of all the midfielders that are coming back. So no wonder he was so tired at the end. I mean, he just puts in so much for the team. And he does it game in, game out.
Yep.
And, of course, now I think he's on 15 league goals, 18 in all. I mean, he's our top assist boy as well. I think he's got 10 assists.
Eight assists in the league, I think.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
And I love that side of his game, more than just the goals. But then if he sees a space in the pitch that no one is in, he'll fill it. He'll run back, he'll track back, he'll do everything for the team. And that's really important to have, not just from a goal scorer.
Of course, his goal was set up by a lovely ball from Joe Aribo, who is a guy we've talked about a lot on this show, not just because he's a great midfielder, but because also his contract is up in the summer. And last week we were discussing this Arsenal link. And I was saying, as a closet Arsenal fan, that I think he's great, but I'm not sure Arsenal great. Anyway, I had the Arsenal lads in last night for the Arsenal Fan Show, and we had James Bench, who's a senior football writer on football.london. Martin's nodding, so
we
might have heard
it.
Yeah, and I said what I said to you about what I love about Aribo is that way that he wins the ball and is immediately moving forward. And James Bench immediately said, he's like Vieira. And I said, so when you say he's like Vieira, has he got a future at Arsenal? And James Bench said Joe Aribo would play at Arsenal and could go on to become a top player there. So Charlton have got to hang on to him.
Yeah, but you said last week that it's all very well him doing that against the likes of League One opposition. Mm. But then I retorted that obviously Johnny Jackson had said Q&A that you know, he's well capable of getting into the Premiership, and hopefully this Arsenal chap is well, I wouldn't say hopefully, because from our point of view we don't want that boy to go. But what worried me with Lebo's press conference today is that he said, you know, we want Joe to stay and it'd be good for his improvement. But there's a few stumbling blocks, and I read one or two things into that. Stumbling blocks being he doesn't want to play in League One for the next 5 years.
And of course, he might not be playing in League One, Martin.
No, we're going up, definitely. it's written in stone.
He's not the only guy, though, who could perhaps be leaving. We've been seeing Lee Bowyer linked with the QPR job. This is something we're going to come on to in more depth later in the show. But he's been offered a contract, which sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
How important is it that he stays at the Valley?
I think Joe Aribo won't be here next season if Bowyer isn't here next season.
No.
Even if we're in the Championship, he's a big influence on that whole team. What he's done over the last 2 years has been massive. And holding on to him is more important than a lot of the players, I would say.
What do you think? Every time we've had Jules Lapsley, we've had Joe Aribo, we've had Jake Forster-Caskey, and I asked them each of them the same question: what has Lee Bowyer done with your game? And they've all said he's improved us, we've got better, and you can see it on the pitch as well. And obviously Jake Forster-Caskey, we've lost him a bit, but you know, when he comes back, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll see his improvement as well.
Well, let's face it, if we don't get promoted this season, probably Lyle Taylor won't be playing for us next season.
Well, you'll be able to ask him.
I'll leave that one to Martin.
Yeah, Martin is apparently taking the role of our brave questioner. We're sending him forward sort of as tribute, and we're all going to play it very, very safe, I have no doubt. Stay with us, because after the break, it's Lyle Taylor.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook from the SE7 pod. And it's an absolute pleasure to also be joined on the line by Charlton top scorer Lyle Taylor. Lyle, thanks ever so much for joining us on the show this evening. Another goal for you at the weekend, Charlton's top scorer with 15. Do you enjoy being the main man?
Evening, gents.
Good evening,
thank you,
Lyle.
For having me. Thank you for having me. Do I enjoy being the main man? I mean, it'd kind of be counterproductive if I said no. most centre forwards are showmen, and I think I'm definitely the same. I'm not one to shy away from the cameras or the limelight. So I think that probably helps in doing the job.
I thought you were the shy and retiring type, actually, Lyle.
I wish I was at times.
Just out of interest, it was your birthday last Friday. What did you get for your birthday?
Oh, too much. It's one of those where you ask for nothing and say, I don't want anything, and then people go way too far. Family bought me all sorts, and it just got to a point of being ridiculous, but obviously I'm very grateful for it. But yeah, it was too much. It was way too much.
Hi, Lyle. It's Ollie here. I think I've got to mention at some point that I don't know if you remember, but a month ago I bumped into you on the street and I was acting very strange because I'm a bit starstruck. So I've just got to apologise for this.
He was the shy one with the beard.
Run into you at Old Street Station.
I remember.
But yeah, no, Lyle, obviously you've had a great season so far and, you know, you're 15 goals. Have you set yourself, you know, a target to reach 20 or above? Where do you see yourself going?
Well, I mean, I'd love to hit 20. It's a nice round number. Would I be disappointed if I didn't quite reach that? No, I think we've had a successful season. I think we're somewhere in and around the same points total as the club got last year. So that in itself is positive, and that in itself is a step forward. Now we have to finish the job. So if it means I don't score another goal this season and we get promoted, then that's my job done. It's not now about individual accolades or who can do this and who can do that. It's now about committing to the cause and getting the job done, because that's the only thing that it really matters now.
Lyle, so often when you see and read interviews with Charlton players, particularly currently, they talk about the gaffer, Lee Bowyer, and how much he's improved their game. Do you feel like he's brought you on at all?
Definitely. Bow has got me fitter, and I have definitely learnt and adapted my game. Not many people will know this, the players obviously know, but when I first came in pre-season, I was miles off it, miles off the standard. Not fitness-wise, but miles off the standard. I didn't expect the standard to be as good as it was. So we have like a league table of games, small-sided games played, and I was down the bottom. One of the worst. Horrendous. And it took me a while to get to grips with how quickly the boys moved the ball and how different it was to what I'd been used to before. But I've kind of got used to it now, and I'm there. I'm one of the boys. I'm towards the top of the leaderboard now. And it's that adaptation, and that's come with training with the boys, with the manager's coaching, with Jacko's help. So it's everybody who kind of brought me to this position, which is obviously testament to the players, the environment and the manager and his staff.
So with Lee Bowyer doing such a good job, Lyle, it's obviously massively important he stays at the club. We've seen some speculation around his future this week. Do you think he'll still be in charge next year?
I assume so. The manager came in today and said it's nonsense, I think was the word he used, nonsense or rubbish, I can't remember which word he used, but he said it's nothing, there's nothing in it, he said, and that goes to show how well you've done as a group, he said. So he said, right now we're going to look at Plymouth. So there we go. And we started the video and that was it. It was a minute long, 45 seconds long. And he said, nope, there's nothing in it. Let's get back to work. And to be honest with you, there is nothing else that's more important than the game in a day and a half, 2 days or whatever it might be. So, yeah, that was his attitude towards it. He came in, addressed it, put it to bed, and back to work, lads. So, yeah, I mean, that I'd like to think he'll be in charge. That's what's been said now. But a manager who has done as well as he has done will always have admirers.
Right, Lyle, it's Martin here. Clearly, we missed we're missing Carlin Grant, or we missed him for a while. We're getting back into it again. How do you feel your partnership with Vettacoli's coming on now? You seem to be on a bit of a good, decent wavelength on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to take time. As I've said before, I spent so much time playing with Carlin that there was no time for anybody else to kind of get a look in. Mm. Before Carlin left, I think Igor had started 3 games, maybe. And that's no time for me and him to build a partnership. Now, Igor's a very good footballer, so a partnership will work and a partnership will be struck up. It's something that takes time. Unfortunately, it's like Rome. It wasn't built in a day, and me and Carlin wasn't built in a day. That took weeks and conversations and disappointment in each other that we hadn't done something that the other one thought we should have done till we got to the point of laying goals on a plate for each other and just admiring what each other brought to the table. And I admire Igor because Igor is a very, very good footballer, and we will see that, and we are seeing that. It's obviously going to take him a little bit of time because he's been injured, and he spent so much of the time injured, and me and him haven't played together. So it's almost like Igor needs to fit into what we have in the team. It's not just me, it's everybody else as well. And Igor is doing that. And the only thing that is left now is a regular flow of goals. And that will come because he finds himself in the good areas to score the goals. So, yeah, there are people saying, oh, Igor should do this or Igor should do that. Igor is a very good footballer and he knows how to score goals. And he will score goals. So people have to they have to be patient with that. At the end of the day, it will come.
Hopefully at Wembley.
That's all there is to it. Well, whenever it is, I couldn't care when it is, as long as we go up.
Absolutely.
Now, Lyle, it would be remiss of us not to mention what happened just after the Bradford game. Obviously, we were all sickened and shocked to see that message you received. So sorry to see you have to go through that. But the upside was all the love and support you got following it. And after watching the highlights of Montenegro, England the other week and all the chants, racist chants that Raheem Sterling, Callum Hudson-Odoi and Danny Rose had to go through, I just wondered what your opinion would be. I mean, do you think Montenegro should be thrown out of the competition? Or indeed, I mean, should the England team walk off the pitch in such incidents like that? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I saw Harry Kane had said that if he hears it or if any player is subjected to that again, he will lead the players off the pitch.
Good.
That's a captain.
Good.
I'm a massive advocate of that. If it happened to me, I will be walking off the pitch. If it happens on the pitch, I will be walking off the pitch. I've said that in an interview today, and I pull no punches and I make no bones about it. I will be walking off the pitch. End of discussion. If the FA or whoever it is feel that they need to punish me for that, then so be it. But I will be walking off the pitch.
And if you did, Lyle, you'd get applauded. Everyone would stand up and applaud you.
Exactly, because it's not throwing your toys out the pram or having a hissy fit. That's a serious issue. Racism, and it's reared its ugly head, and it keeps doing it at the moment. I don't understand why. Maybe it's politics. Maybe there's things that are going on in the background that are forcing people into the mindset where they think they can do and say as they please with no repercussions. Maybe it's that, but I will walk off the pitch if it happens, if I'm subjected to it during a game. If one of my teammates is subjected to it during a game, I will support them in walking off the pitch with them.
And as you say, sorry, Lyle, but as you say, you know, racism is rearing its ugly head. You know, recently, yourself, Raheem Sterling, Moise Keane, all subject to racist abuse. What do you think, in your opinion, the FA or any governing body should do to really just tackle this?
They have to take a hard line stance on it. Whether that's docking clubs points, whether that's disqualifying countries from European qualification, whatever that may be, but they have to take a hard line stance on it, because at the moment, what are they actually doing? We've got the Premier League, who have, or the FA or whoever it is, who have just made their own No Room for Racism campaign. Why? We've had Kick It Out in the game for 25 years, who have a current total of 17 staff. Why can't the Premier League or the FA put all of their money behind that and grow Kick It Out, which is already an established company? Why do we have to have another one, No Room for Racism, who have just made an advert? I saw it yesterday. And it was just a load of footballers talking, just saying words. Mm. Racism's wrong. There's no room for racism in football. Racism's really bad. Well, what? Yeah, we know that. But what is your advert doing? How much have you spent on your advert? And I've just got to sit there and watch Raheem Sterling, the last person in that interview, say something about racism. And honestly, if you watch it, look in his eyes, he does not believe a word he's saying. Mm. Because sitting there making an advert to put out on all social media and on TV is not going to solve the problem.
What is the solution, Lyle? Because your horrible instance of this is the latest in a long line. And this is a particular thing this season. We've had Sterling on the end of it domestically. Internationally, we had a Spurs fan allegedly throwing a banana skin at Aubameyang. Whether or not these people feel legitimised because of a political climate, how can we stop it happening?
The FA, the UEFA and FIFA have to take a hard line stance on it. If that means teams or countries or so-and-so are disqualified from competition because of their fans, then do you know what? They are your fans. Do something about it. Educate your fans. This can't just be the FA or UEFA or FIFA have to deal with this. That the clubs have to take ownership of what is theirs. Now, was it Cagliari fans who abused Moise Keane? They should now be seriously punished. But then you've got the Juventus captain saying, "Oh well, it's 50-50. He antagonised the fans." No. There is nothing that can go on a football pitch where you do something bad enough that allows you to be racially abused. I'm sorry, disgusting. And if my captain said that, there would be, firstly, there'd be a physical encounter in the changing room. And secondly, I would seriously consider whether I ever pulled the shirt on for that club ever again.
I mean, I think football is in a good position to do something about it, because if we took some really strong measures, then, things could change. I mean, personally, I think these individuals can be weeded out, because, I mean, why don't we have some sort of passport system? I mean, if you're guilty of something like this, then you take away their identity card or passport. And then I wouldldn't mind going into a football ground and having to show my ID card to get in. Now,
a racist card.
Exactly. Well, whatever, but it's... We've got to this point, haven't we?
No, absolutely. But I think you should punish whole clubs immediately. And I know that might be seemingly unfair.
But we've got to wheedle them out.
We have. But equally, if, for example, I know Bradford are investigating this instance, Lyle. I mean, what about Bradford playing their next game behind closed doors if it was a Bradford fan?
Well, there you go. If you start punishing whole clubs, do you think the fans that hear it, see it and are part of it are going to continue accepting that it's going on? No, because their club is being punished. If we, as a club at Charlton, if we had a group of fans or something that were making monkey noises at an opposition player, and we were docked 5 points, 10 points, whatever it might be, do you think that would be going on every single week?
No.
Do you think that the perpetrators of these crimes would continue to do them? Hell no, they wouldn't. And they wouldn't do that because it's not only the club that are losing out, they're losing out, and everybody wants to get promoted. From whatever league you play, you want to be promoted, you want success. Now, if you've got fans racist chanting, making monkey noises, throwing bananas on the pitch, doing all of these things, docking your club points, don't you think the club are going to have something serious to say about that? And don't you think the fans are going to have something serious to say about that?
Well, you would hope that the fans would have something serious to say about it anyway, to be honest, Lyle, but you're bang on that it might take that.
I mean, I think that's probably the only way. If monkey chants have been heard in the stadium and you can see where it's coming from, because let's be honest, it's quite unlikely that the Juventus fans are going to be making monkey chants at their own player.
Well, you say that. I mean, in Italy, it is a problem. We've seen it with Italy fans giving Balotelli stick back when he was their best player. And you just think, what are you doing?
It's a massive, massive problem. It's ridiculous. Italy... And it's documented. It's not like this is just pie in the sky and this is pulling things out of the air. It's documented that there are more racial issues in football in Italy than there are in England. But that doesn't make what's going on in England right. No. That doesn't make us better, because it's still happening here. So, yeah, we can talk about Italy, but our house isn't in order. So there's no point talking about Italy, because really and truly... Until we've got or weeded out all of the racists in this country, which is going to be a virtually impossible job, we can't and we shouldn't get involved in what's going on next door. We have to do something about it here with Kick It Out, with the FA. And if it means taking a hardline stance where you dock points from a football club, I think it will stop.
Lyle? All good stuff, and obviously we could carry on talking about this for a long, long time. I'm just going to try and change the tone of it a little bit now. I mean, it's often mentioned on the Charlton Life Forum, for example, that you could excel yourself in a whole manner of things once you hang your boots up. Is there any area you particularly fancy, such as media, coaching, management, PFA chairman, or even Prime Minister when you finally hang your boots up? Because you speak so eloquently on what we've just been talking about, Lowe, and I'm actually being quite serious about this.
I mean, I think the Houses of Parliament might be a step too far for me. In my opinion, they're all clowns. Well, I think they're all clowns, and that's the issue. I remember years ago now, listening to my parents talking about, oh, Tony Blair this, Tony Blair that, and Ken Livingstone when he was the mayor of London, and Labour are in power. I remember that being the conversation and how bad they are. We have now got a group of clowns running this country. It's actually embarrassing. You've got a leader of a party being stabbed in the back and told that they want her to die by her own constituents, by her own people are saying that. You've got the opposition run by some bloke who literally could be out of Zippo's circus. Like, honestly, it's just ridiculous.
Well, I've heard he's a massive fan of the show, Lyle, so he'll be delighted.
Well, I'm sure he'd be a massive fan of me after I've told him exactly how I feel. But no, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know where I'm going to go after football. I have no real interest, if I'm completely honest, in football. I don't want to coach. I don't want to be a manager. That might change, but I doubt it. I don't have a lot to do with football away from playing. But I'm not 100% sure. I think there could be avenues into some sort of public speaking, public service.
Well, I was going to say, whatever it might be. If you're ever free on a Thursday night, I've got a gig that from 9 until 10 on Love Sport Radio, you'd always be welcome.
I don't see why not. Maybe radio. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I think there are a lot of things that are going on at the moment that get to me. So who knows? Maybe something to do with Kick It Out. Maybe something to do with cancer research. I don't know, but
yeah,
I know that there is something bigger than football. If you get my drift, there's a calling that's bigger than football.
No, absolutely. Lyle, thanks ever so much for your time. It's been lovely talking to you, and really, really eye-opening talking to you as well. I just want to leave it on a Charlton note. The ball that set you up for that goal at the weekend was a delightful one from a certain Mr. Joe Aribo, who is another person we're seeing linked away from the club. Do you think he'll hang around? How important for you is it that he stays?
I mean, it's really important for me that we keep our very, very best players. And I mean, we have a really talented young group. Unfortunately, will we be able to keep all of those players, as you saw with Carlin? I don't know. At the end of the day, there are massive, massive clubs out there with very, very deep pockets. And will we be able to keep these players? I don't know. Would I love these players to stay and be playing in the same team as me? Yes, I would, 100%. Without a shadow of a doubt, I would love to be playing alongside Joe Aribo next season. I'd love to be playing alongside Carlin Grant next season. But the way football is that there is a hell of a lot of money out there, and clubs aren't afraid to throw a couple of million here and a couple of million there, because to the clubs in the top in the top division, a couple of million is a pittance. And it sounds ridiculous, but it really is a pittance now, with the amount of money that they get through sponsorship and all of these things. So, yes, I'd love us to keep all of our best players. Yes, I'd love to see our young players flourish at Charlton. Will they do that? I don't know. I don't have the answer for that, but I really hope they do.
So, Lyle, just one more question. It's looking quite a slim chance that we'll get to the automatics. Obviously, Sunderland won last night. So what can you draw on your playoff winning experiences with AFC Wimbledon to help both you and your teammates if we hopefully, and I'm pretty sure we will, contest them in May?
I mean, yeah, okay, I bring experience to the table, but to be honest with you, I think this group is pretty much fearless. I don't think there are... Yes, we respect the other teams in this league, as you'd expect us from the bottom to the top. We respect every team in this league, as in when we play them. But I don't think this team has anything to fear. If we go out there and compete, get the ball down and pass it, I don't think there are many teams that can live with us. So really and truly, the battle is get there. And then when you're on the stage, embrace what you are, what you've achieved and what you've afforded yourself, because that's when there should be no pressure.
Yeah.
I speak with a sports psychologist and he said, you have to embrace where you are and what you've achieved and what you've done to get to where you are. And when you're on the biggest stage at Wembley in a playoff final, this is where you're meant to be. This is what you work for. You work at all of these terrible grounds in the middle of winter when it's snowing or it's -2 degrees. You work that whole year to get to here, and this is your stage. Go and claim your stage. That's his take on it. And I see it as 100% right. Are a showman. You are a performer. Now go and take what's yours.
I love what you're saying here.
We're talking about your career after football. Have you considered Shakespearean actor? It's once more under the breach, dear friend, stuff here on Love Sport Radio. Lyle, it's been really, really wonderful talking to you. You're a top man. We really appreciate your time. Lyle Taylor there, who is Charlton's top scorer. And
cheers, Lyle.
A wonderful bloke, by all accounts. I promised he was a wonderful bloke, and it has been proven to be absolutely true. Stay with us here on the Love Sport Radio, because coming up, a bit on Lee Bowyer's future.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and if you just joined us, get on demand at the end of the show and listen back, because Lyle Taylor gave us an extraordinary interview.
Mate, as soon as it finished, my mum texted me saying, what an interview. So, Lyle, you've got my mum's approval there.
That was actually everything he wanted.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
So that's great. One thing we touched on with Lyle was the future of a certain Mr. Lee Bowyer, Charlton manager. We've been waiting for ages for him to be offered a contract. He finally has been, but in his press conference, he said, yeah, I'm going to need someone to translate, basically, because it is a contract, but I've got no idea what it says, and it doesn't look like any other contract I've ever seen. What's going on?
Unbelievable, isn't it? It's just shambolic, you know. I mean, for him to come out with that in a press conference to say, I've got to go and see Richard Murray, you know, I mean, what? It's just unbelievable. Just give the geezer a contract in English, let him sign it, and let's be done with it.
Maybe that was the problem. It was in Flemish.
Yes. Double Dutch.
Yes, yeah. He couldn't make head or tail of it. So Richard Murray, I think, was going to help him out today to decipher it. But yeah, we wait to see what goes on there. That should be revealed to us very soon, I would have thought. And Lee's so honest, isn't he? He just tells it as it is. And
As Lyle said in his interview, you know, he was very candid and very honest, and said when he came to the club, he wasn't up. You know, he wasn't there. You know, he wasn't at that point of being good enough to play in the team. And within, you know, in pre-season, Bowyer's turned him around and, you know, got him up to it. It's just, that's how important he is to the club now. It's just a joke.
And kind of on your point there, Paul, that, you know, he's so straightforward, Lee Bowyer. It made me quite pleased to see him get rid of all the rumours with QPR, those links.
Yeah. So you think that's the truth?
I think it's the truth.
They're gone.
Yeah, because that's not who Lee Bowyer is. He wouldn't come in live.
Bowyer's locker to give us a load of rubbish.
So if he says, I'm not linked with QPR, I've not spoken to QPR, I believe Lee Bowyer, because he just tells it as he is. If he was, he said, they've spoken to me, but I won't tell you what they said. That's what he'd say, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I just think with Lee, he's straight down the middle, and I would have thought that he would love to stay with Charlton, because he could do so much with this club. Yeah. But we're on a precipice at the moment because of the situation with Roland. If Roland continues to muck around the way he is, then you wouldn't blame Lee for jumping ship at some point. Maybe not with QPR, but there'd be other suitors along the way. And you know, it's a chance now for Charlton to jump in the right direction. And come on, Roland, please. Just
imagine what Bowyer could do with a few quid to spend. I mean, it's frightening, isn't it?
It would be frightening, yeah. So there we are, Johnny. What do you think?
What do I think? Well, I was interested by the QPR links. I think the appealing thing for QPR about Boya is because he's experienced working with a difficult boss and in a club where the conditions are difficult. But from a Boya point of view, and I'm obviously saying this as the one in the room who isn't a Charlton fan, I can't see why he'd go to QPR. Nah. I can't see, even with the De Châtelet situation, what there is to gain by taking that job now. I'd understand if it were a Leeds or someone like that, but actually, what do you gain?
No, he's just going to sit.
I've been saying that all along as well.
Yeah, it's either you could get promoted, get some silverware with Charlton, you can make something happen, or just sit in mid-table with QPR and then get fired at some point. That's his choice. That's his choice. And clearly the best one to do is, stick with Charlton. That's not even just coming from a Charlton fan. I mean, that's the obvious one, isn't it?
Yep, definitely. I mean, QPR, if you look at their track record of managers, down the last few years, it's not encouraging for anyone going into that job. So, I mean, I would have thought if we can just get past this, Lee gets us promoted, bit of money come our way, and upwards and onwards.
Yeah, hold on to Joe Aribo, hold on to Lee Bowyer, hold on to Lyle Taylor, offer him a job as the stadium announcer as well, and see what happens. Stay with us here on the Charlton Fan Show, because coming up, it's time to turn our attentions to Plymouth, and we'll be getting the opposition view from Chris Errington, who is the future editor, that would be quite something, football editor at Plymouth Live.
This is Love Sport.
That's right, it's that time of the show where we look ahead to our next fixture and Charlton's next opponents. This week it is, of course, Plymouth Argyle, and I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by Chris Errington, who's a football editor at Plymouth Live. Thanks ever so much for joining us, Chris. Funny season for Plymouth, same as last year. Start terribly and then gradually build your way up the table.
Yeah, good evening, Johnny. Yeah, it's been a weird old season. And as you rightly say, you know, very similar to the previous one. A really poor start around about Christmas time. You're thinking that they're looking doomed for relegation. And then they've picked up in the second half of the season. Although having done that and having had a good second half of the season, they're still only 5 points clear of the relegation zone with 6 games to go.
Yeah, and you've had a pretty impressive home record recently, I think, unbeaten in about 8 games. So when you take on Charlton at the weekend, what can we expect? Will there be a furious start from you, or is it horses for courses, depending on who the opposition is, and will you give Charlton Athletic so much respect?
Well, Charlton are a good team, make no mistake about that. I think it's, what, 1 defeat in 12 games, so you have to respect a team with that sort of record in League One. Argyle have played at home to Portsmouth and Sunderland, Luton Town, I should say, in recent home games. As you say, they're unbeaten in the last 8. And in Graham Carey and Ruben Lamirez, they've got two playmaking players that are capable, in my opinion, of winning any game when they're allowed the space and the time to show what they're capable of. They're more than capable of causing problems for the opposition. But you know, I'm expecting around about a 10,000 crowd on Saturday at Home Park. It's three-sided at the moment because of redevelopment work on the main grandstand. But I think there'll be a good atmosphere. Argyle are in good form at home, but need the 3 points just to give themselves that little bit of extra breathing space between them and the bottom four.
Yeah, I'm a bit sad that old stand's gone. It was the Mayflower stand, wasn't it?
It is, and it's not gone as such. It's a slightly unusual one. They haven't knocked down the grandstand. What they're doing is refurbishing it. So it will look similar to the old grandstand if any of the Charlton fans have been down to Home Park before. But it's been given a big spruce up, a new roof, a new conference and hospitality suites. There'll be seats in the lower tier, which haven't been the case for many years. So the idea is that it should look similar to what it did before, but with a lot more modern and facilities that hopefully will bring the club in more money over the time to come.
I'm very encouraged.
Very nice. So obviously looking down at the League One table, it's a bit of a relegation scrap between about 12 teams. So what do you think gives Argyle the edge to stay up? I mean, we all assume that they're at the top of that pack, they're there for a reason. What's their key to staying up as opposed to the other teams down below them?
I think Graham Carey and Ruben Lamirez, as I mentioned before, are two very good players in League One. Ruben Ramirez is Portuguese born, but grew up in London. He had a time at Spurs, then went to Coventry, won the Checkatrade Trophy with them. He's in his second season at Argyle and second top scorer this season with 12 goals. And for someone that you wouldn't really say is a penalty box player, he's more of a creative player around the edge of the box, jinking inside people, getting in shots. He's a good player. More than likely, he'll be up against Ben Purrington, who is a former Argyle player. He came up through the ranks at Home Park, did really well for Argyle, very popular player with the fans as he came through the ranks. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing the battle between Ramirez and Purrington. Graham Carey has been at Argyle for 4 years and consistently a very good performer for them at a high level. As I say, the home form's been good of late. I suppose the one thing I would say that maybe counts against Argyle is that in their last two games, they've held 2-1 leads going into stoppage time and haven't been able to win either of them. They conceded late equalisers in a 2-2 draw at home to Bristol Rovers and then a 2-2 draw at Blackpool last week when they actually led 2-0 in the 84th minute. So you just wonder, will there be any sort of hangover from those last two results when they play a good team like Charlton?
Obviously, as you just said, you do score a lot of goals, but you also concede them. I mean, you've conceded 31 goals at home this season, compared to scoring 33. So, I mean, obviously, that's something you've got to look out for, obviously, with Lyle Taylor and our attacking threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lyle Taylor, nobody at Argyle needs to be told anything about Lyle Taylor. He scored the first goal when Argyle played AFC Wimbledon in the League Two player final at Wembley a few years ago. He's got a bit of a track record against Argyle. He always performed well for Wimbledon against Argyle when they played each other quite regularly over the course of a few years. So, Argyle manager Derek Adams and some of the players there will be well aware of his threat. And, when you're playing a team that's fifth in League One and, looks pretty much nailed on for the playoffs at the very least, you're going to expect good players to be in the opposition. And that's why I think it will be a good game. I don't see Argyle trying to play for a draw or trying to sort of soak up pressure too much. I'm not saying they're going to go, all gung-ho and be cavalier in their approach, but they really need to win just one or two more games just to make sure that they get themselves over for the finish line. So I'd expect them to be positive. I'd expect Charlton to be positive because, looking from the outside in, they're pretty much nailed on for the playoffs, aren't they? If you get into the top two, that might be a bit of an ask. So it looks to me as though the pressure might be a little bit off Charlton. They can play with freedom. Argyle need to go and get the 3 points. I would have thought it'd be quite an open game.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Derek Adams, I mean, he's quite a rare commodity these days as he's served you now since June 2015, I believe.
I know.
Bearing in mind the sort of topsy-turvy situation you've had in the last couple of seasons, what's his rating amongst the Argyle fans at the moment?
Well, he's the ninth longest serving manager out of the 92 in the Premier League and EFL. He got them promoted a couple of seasons ago. They finished seventh last season after a poor start. They've had another poor start this season. And, he's on course to making sure that they, retain their League One status. So I think, he's held in pretty good esteem, certainly by the board of directors at Argyle, because I think at many other clubs, in each of the last two seasons, with the way it was going for Argyle around about November, December time, many other clubs might have changed manager, but they've kept faith in Derek Adams and he's rewarded them with the results and performance that they needed to have some success. I think the one thing I would also say about him is that he's not just the first team manager, he also has the title of head of football. So there's not many decisions that get taken at that football club without him being involved. So, he's got a real power base at Home Park, and that, I think that shows you how much regard certainly the board of directors have for him.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job with patience rarely shown in football. Chris?
and not a great deal of money either, it has to be said. They don't have a huge budget, certainly compared to some of the big hitters. So he has to rely on free transfers and loans. Freddie Ladapo is a good example of that, a player that, well-known in London and the South East. Came down to Argyle in the summer as a free agent after a poor spell at Southend United. Derek Adams took a chance on him and Ladapo's rewarded him with 17 goals in all competitions. 14 of them coming at Home Park and just the three away from home. So he's really excelled in front of the Green Army.
They must love him. Chris, it's been lovely talking to you. I'm just going to put you on the spot quickly before you let you get going. I need a score prediction, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. I'm going to have to sit on the fence and go 1-1, Johnny.
1-1. It's all right. It means you maintain your popularity in the studio. It's a wise move. Chris, lovely speaking to you. Chris Errington there, who is the football editor at Plymouth Live. Stay with us because we've heard the Plymouth side of things. And I think it's time we now talked about how Charlton should set up.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show with me, Johnny Burrow, and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan, and Ollie Cook.
Hello.
From the SE7 pod. We're here on Love Sport Radio and we're looking ahead to Plymouth.
Yeah.
How should they set up?
Now, what we should do is do what we've been doing all season and just utilise that midfield. Obviously, what we need to do is get them scoring goals, but you know we have the best midfield in the league. We've said it so many times. And if we get them all passing, moving nicely, then we'll win that game easily.
I think it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a good home record, as I said, but it's tough. I think I'm going to go with a draw as well.
Yeah, I just think, obviously, Lee doesn't really sort of deviate from the diamond. But the thing that struck me from last week is that, you know, with a diamond, you've got to utilise the fullbacks. And, you know, the problem at the moment, although with Dick Steele coming in, he wasn't particularly successful getting the ball across enough. Yeah. And Puritan struggles a little bit to beat his man. And I was watching Luton the other day, and they play the diamond, but they've got two fantastic fullbacks in Justin and Stacey. And, you know, that's something that we've got to work on and get the fullbacks really sort of contributing more.
Yeah, well, Bowie did say Pagey could be back.
Well, exactly. So that's really encouraging.
He'll definitely give us that, won't he?
And we do remember last year when Pagey played against Plymouth, he scored that absolute screamer. Ah.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah. So, I mean, having Lewis Pagey on one wing and Chris Solly on the other wing would really help us out, I think, because Chris can put in a good ball as well. So hopefully he'll be in this weekend.
Would you prefer Chris Solly? Is that what you're saying?
I would say, from going forward point of view, Chris Solly can deliver a better ball, I would say, than Dick Steele.
I was generally impressed with Dick Steele. As I say, he didn't get his first proper crossing until about the 75th minute. But he's got pace.
He never gets beaten for pace, does he?
No,
so
exactly.
He's a machine, isn't he?
And he's had a few games now, and he's sort of really sort of getting into the sort of flow of things. So I like the look of Dick Steele. But yeah, it's going to be a very tough game. I think their front guy, I don't think you mentioned it, the guy,
Freddie Ladapo. Yeah.
I mean, he's got more goals than Lyle.
Yeah.
So he's a great scorer, and he tends to score all his goals at Home Park. So we are going to be up against it. But hey, come on, we're Charlton.
Yeah.
And also, Ladapo can't give a speech like Lyle. I'm not interested. No. He can't be rude about politicians in the way that Lyle can. Lyle's actually tweeted into the show saying, thanks for having me, which is very kind of him because we're very grateful to him. But he said, anytime you want to talk smack about politicians, I'm all yours, which is lucky because the other text we've had into the show was from Jeremy Corbyn threatening a lawsuit. So we'll be more careful next time, Jeremy.
Looking forward against the game. It's going to be a tough one. We've got to think about, we've got two games in a row. We've obviously got Wickham coming up as well.
Yes, on Tuesday.
Let's not forget Adams Park on Tuesday night.
And that's obviously going to be, again, a tough game because every team we're playing now either is going to be the promotion candidate, so in Luton, or in a relegation battle, which most of the league is in.
Wickham are fairly comfortable, aren't they?
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
But still a tough game. Ooh. They've got some physical strikers.
I don't think they're in trouble of relegation.
They're in big trouble. Basically,
we'll put an hour in the coffin then.
They've had a horrendous run. I don't think they've won for about 10 matches, and they've been losing to teams around them, some of the bottom teams. And they've got into that awful habit of letting leads slip last 3-4 games consecutively. Carl Robinson got one over them in the M40 Derby last Saturday.
The greatest of all the derbies. Well, it's that time of the show, gents, when I put you on the spot. Score predictions. Ollie, take us away.
We're 2-1 Charlton. I'll tell you with both.
Hey, there he
is. I'm going to go for a Desmond 2-2.
2-2.
Going for a conservative 1-1 draw.
I'm going 3-0 Charlton, Lyle Taylor hat-trick and a speech at the end.
Get in!
Paul, let's go and get your scarf.
Come on then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.